Okay, if you have your Bibles, Mark chapter 8, verses 34. So the words of Jesus, he says, "And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me.'" Now listen to these words. He says, "For whoever would save his life will lose it. But for whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." What an extraordinary few sentences by Jesus there. We're going to look at that together, and I'm going to title this message, "The Unlikely, the Confusing, the Frustrating Path to Satisfaction." Okay. So could you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this time now that we share together as a community of believers. God, thank you that we can gather together freely and that we don't have to hide and that we don't have to be ashamed of this, Lord. Thank you. I pray that as we approach your scripture, Lord, that you show us Jesus, Lord, and that you reveal yourself to us, Lord. I pray that we don't just want to receive information, Lord, that we want to encounter you in a real way, God. So we just thank you for all that you're doing here in this community, Lord, and thank you for bringing LeBron home. Amen. Okay, so. Okay, I love carbs. Okay, short, of course, for carbohydrates. Does anyone else love carbs? Anyone? No? Okay, anyone who didn't raise their hand is a liar, and the truth is not in them. Okay, I mean, that's just a fact. I mean, who doesn't love carbs? Okay, what are we talking about? It's carbs, people, okay? Now, what's great about carbs is that carbs work at any time. Have you noticed this? Carbs work at any time. I mean, carbs in the morning, yeah, that's called breakfast. Carbs in the middle of the day, it's called lunch. Carbs at night, it's called dinner. Carbs in the middle of the night, it's called a snack. Okay, let's just all agree, we love carbs. Okay, I love carbs. I'm pro-carb, like at all times. Okay, and I know that doctors and fitness gurus, they tell us that we have to be careful with carbs. I don't want to. Okay, I want to be reckless with carbs. Okay, that's what I want to do. Now, combined with my total obsession for carbs is an equal disinterest in working out, in running, more likely. Okay? I love carbs. I don't love running. Do I run? Yes. Do I like it? Absolutely not. Do I eat carbs? Yes. Do I like it? No. I love it. Okay, that's a snapshot of my existence, okay? I'm constantly living in between the tension of loving carbs and hating running, okay? That's just, I don't know if anyone else. Okay, that's just me. No? Okay. And, before, like I've noticed this trend. This alarming trend that before I go to workout, before I go to run, should I say, I love working out, I just don't love running. That 10 minutes right at the end, yeah, I hate that. Okay, I'm moaning the thought of myself exerting myself in cardiovascular activities. I mean, and keep in mind, when I say running, what I'm referencing to is just 10 minutes on the treadmill. Okay, it's a brisk walk, like 3.5, okay, on an incline. I get there, and you can ask Ellen or anyone who works out with me. It's just like, I'm like, oh, I'm tired, you know, it's Monday. Monday's after Sunday. I can't run on Monday. Like, and then Tuesday rolls around. Well, I mean, tomorrow's leg day, so I don't want to, you know, and then, you know, I just have a propensity for making excuses, as you can tell. So originally I had this sermon planned, and then I had to change it, so I'm kind of going off my notes here, so I'm sorry for that. You just have to bear with me. I'm new to this. I hope you're okay with that. So due to the fact that I no longer play competitive basketball, I don't run. Those days are over. They're done. But by the time I hit the treadmill, I just, like, during it, before I start running, I hate it. During it, I hate it. Afterwards, I love it. I mean, why is it like this? I mean, like, I don't know, the endorphins or the dolphins hit you and you feel
awesome about running. I don't know why it's like this. I mean, it's funny, but I am that guy who wants everyone to know when I just went running or working out. I mean, is anyone else that guy? I mean, why are we working out? I mean, I was getting a membership at the gym one time, and one trainer once asked me, well, what are your goals? What? To look awesome. Like, what are we talking about here? Like, I'm not here. I want to look like the Wolverine. That's why I'm here. Okay? I mean, sir, I wouldn't be here if I looked awesome eating ice cream. Okay? Jeez. But I've noticed this trend. You know, so afterwards, you know, I'm telling everybody about it. But not only that, like, I feel awesome. Like, when it comes to carbs, before I eat carbs, I love it. You know, I want to talk about it. I want to consider all the different, how should I say, species of carbs. like last week, me and my friends who at work, we went to the donut mill in Red Deer. Has anyone been there before? Okay, it's fantastic. So we drove, like, it was a Saturday night, and we sped in my mom's minivan to get to the cupcake place and the donut mill. Okay, who drives in their mom's minivan to make sure that the donut mill doesn't close? I mean, we have a problem, right? And we're just praising God that it's still open, right? I mean, what? But before I eat carbs, this is incredible. It tastes so good. During the consumption of carbs, it's amazing. But almost immediately after, all the carbs are gone. Regret and remorse sink in instantly. And you're like, oh, why did we come here? God, I hate my life. I hate this place. Did that have gluten in it? You know, like, it's just crazy. But I mean, it's weird, right? And this is life. We can go on and on. This is life, right? Oftentimes, what we want isn't realized until we do what we really don't want to do when we really don't want to do it. And then you're like, I feel amazing. I actually went running. Like, it's so weird. Why is it like this? Now, it's life is paradoxical. Now, we have come up onto a situation here. It's an invitation, essentially. It's an invitation to life. By the way, Jesus gives us this extraordinary invitation. And the invitation is to life, by the way. Okay? Not just living, not just existing, not just breathing, but truly living. Come on, you can exist and you can breathe, but not truly be alive. Right? But it is paradoxical. It really is. Jesus gives us an invitation. Jesus says, if you want to find life, that's an interesting way to tell people who are clearly breathing in and out. No doubt he's speaking to the predominantly Jewish audience in this text, but he's also speaking to each and every person who would ever read his word, right? But we know for a fact that he was preaching to this ancient Jewish audience. He says, if you want to find life, so he's implying that some people breathe, but they don't actually find life. If you want to find it. But listen to how he invites us. He says, come on, come follow me. Come follow me. Whoever loses his life will find it. What? Keep in mind before we go further, that God is for life. God is for your life. God is for the abundant life. Right? John 10:10, Jesus says, the enemy comes to clear, kill, and destroy, but I have come so that you can find life and have it abundantly. Right? God is for your soul. God is for your life. And he's giving us his invitation, but it's costly and it's paradoxical. It's an invitation to life via death. What? I mean, it's interesting to me, like, Jesus says, if you're interested in me, if you're enamored with me, if you're caught up with me, if you want to follow me, come after me. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me.
What?
Now, he goes on further to explain that whoever tries to hoard his life, keep his life, give his life, obsessed with self, you'll lose life. But he says, deny yourself. We'll talk about that if I ever am invited back. That'll be my next sermon. He says, deny yourself. And then he says, take up your cross. Now, immediately, when you read those words, or if I read them to you, or if we're discussing them here today, automatically you probably think of Jesus. You know, the Son of the living God who died on the middle cross. On his spilt blood, we can find life. That's probably the image that seeps into your mind. Okay, but that would not have been the image that seeped into these ancient Jews' minds. That it would not. And why is that? Well, because Jesus hasn't gone to the cross yet. At this point in Mark, they don't even know that he will do that, right? So Jesus says, take up your cross. Okay? Jesus doesn't say, take up my cross. So they're like, you have a cross? What? He says, take up your cross. They would have been, the image that would have been conjured up in the minds of the ancient Jews or the listening Jews, what image would have come to mind? I submit to you, this is what I believe, that it would not have been Jesus on his cross, but the image that would have come to mind, it wouldn't have even been of a criminal on a cross, because Jesus doesn't say, die on your cross, hang on your cross. He says, take up your cross. Now, of course, the word there, take up, means to carry, right? Jesus says, if you want life, if you really want to find it, here's the key. Come after me, deny yourself, take up your cross, carry your cross, and follow me. So notice now that every single word is dictated and designed by God himself. He breathed all scripture, right? So Jesus does not say die on your cross. He does not say hang on your cross. He says carry your cross. What image would have come to mind? Well, it would have been criminals, condemned criminals, who carried their cross right before they were nailed to it. It's what was known as the death walk. What's the death walk? Jesus did it. It's a long road, oftentimes leading to the place. It would have been lined typically with people, a gallery of people. The crucifixion, it was a spectacle. It was a spectacle from Rome. If you crossed Rome, if you broke the rules of Rome, Rome wanted everyone to know that this would be your punishment. It was intentionally and strategically public. It was what was known as the death walk. And the death walk was when a condemned criminal would shoulder the wooden beam and carry it down a road of ridicule, spitting. They would throw things. They would curse them. It was called the death walk. Okay. Now, Jesus seems to be implying to these people, go on the death walk. Okay. But then he mysteriously says, walk the death walk, shoulder your cross, and follow me. Follow me. Are you on the death walk, Jesus? Take up your cross and follow me. You see, there's a bit of mystery here. Because we take passages like this all the time, and we're like, Jesus means, to like Jesus, you take up your cross, and you do what he says, and you yield your will to God. And that's probably a fair assumption. But I think Jesus is getting a little bit deeper. I think he's implying something a little bit more than this. Right? Because sometimes, the Roman officers who were leading the procedure of the crucifixion would compel an innocent bystander to carry the cross of the criminal. Now, it was random. It was no doubt a little inconvenient for the innocent bystander. Obviously, a man, if not always, the Roman soldier would grab him from the crowd, probably would have laid hands on him and said, you carry the beam. Oftentimes, it was because the criminal was incapable of doing so because of their horrible state. Now, this didn't happen all the time, but it happened sometimes. And wouldn't you know, in the case of Christ, Jesus, He did not carry his own cross. His cross was carried by an innocent bystander who was compelled by a Roman officer, randomly, inconveniently, to carry Jesus' cross. Recorded in all three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we're told of a man, Mark 15:21 says, and they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who's coming in from the country, father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. Okay, so Simon of Cyrene. Cyrene, that's Africa, northern Africa. This man is an African. Okay? What does this man, it says he was a passerby, right? So what does this tell us about Cyrene, the man Cyrene, Simon of Cyrene? Simon is not there for Jesus. No offense to Jesus. Right? Simon probably is a Hellenized Jew who's come in to celebrate the annual festival of Passover. He's probably come in from the country to do commerce, to do business. He's a businessman. He's probably come in to supply for his family, celebrate the festival, and then go back. Simon's schedule isn't to stop and watch the crucifixion of Jesus the Christ. He is a passerby. Some make the case that he probably wasn't even standing there. He was probably minding his business and just literally passing by. And a Roman officer randomly would have laid hands on him and said, "Sir, carry the cross." Simon would have thought to himself, "Are you serious? I don't have time for this. I mean, come on." Really? He had no choice. You didn't cross Rome or any of the soldiers. Simon now thinking to himself, "What a bother. What an inconvenience. Who is this man? He must have done something horrible. He's hated. He's despised. And on top of that, now he's, him and the Roman officer, you know, probably would have picked up the cross because Jesus couldn't. And they're carrying this big, just heavy torture tool. He's thinking to himself, I don't have time for this. And on top of that, now he's walking between a gallery of people who are no doubt spitting and throwing things and cursing him and ridiculing Jesus. He's probably thinking to himself, hey, don't throw things at me. Don't spit on me. I'm just, hey, I'm innocent. I'm just from Africa. I'm just here for Passover, please." And I wonder if that's why Jesus later in the portion that we read says, "Don't be ashamed of me. Don't be ashamed of me." Because you could imagine how an innocent bystander would feel just walking down, being compelled to carry this cross of a criminal, being thrown at, spit on. Most definitely would they probably try to clarify to everyone in the gallery, hey, I'm innocent, okay? I'm not with him. Jesus says, "Don't be ashamed of me." Jesus says, "Carry your cross, follow me, but don't be ashamed of me." It's amazing, this picture that we have. Jesus says, "Carry your cross and follow me." Then we're just happened to be granted a literal picture, possibly of what Jesus is trying to conjure up in these ancient Jewish minds. That when Jesus was crucified, it was one of those moments when a random officer was compelled to carry the cross. Random. Now, I want you to think about this. What started out as an inconvenience, what started out as an interruption to Simon's regularly scheduled program, eventually dawns on him. This is not a normal man. There's much conjecture and debate as to why Alexander and Rufus were mentioned there in Mark's gospel. We read it in verses Mark 15, 21. Now, some believe it's because Alexander and Rufus show up in some of the early church writings. Okay? There's much deliberation because you'll see Alexander, you'll see Rufus, one portion in the book of Acts, another shows up in Timothy's writings.
Many people believe that Simon's boys ended up following Jesus because of this moment here. Regardless, what we have here is a man who is interrupted by God, compelled to carry the cross of God's Son. He thinks it's an interruption, but what it is a picture of the gospel. The name Simon means to hear, to listen, to hearken. Okay? The name Alexander means, which is the first son mentioned, means the defender of men or an exterminator of evil. The name Rufus means red. The gospel is there, even in the names. If you will hear about the God-man who has come to defend man by exterminating evil by his red blood that was spilled, you can find life. Some wonder why the names are mentioned. I believe because even in the meaning of the names, we have the gospel. I mean, this is how the gospel works, right? I don't know about you, but I wasn't born looking for Jesus. I wasn't born walking around saying, I'm a sinner and I need to be saved by the grace of God. I wasn't looking for Jesus. I was looking for what I wanted to look for, doing what I wanted to do, right? And at that point, it was basketball and it was girls and part of my life. Forget it. I mean, how important is our schedules these days? Mine too. I mean, if you're going to be successful, you got to have a good schedule. No, you got vacations are coming up. You got to plan out your holidays, plan out your weekdays. You know, you got things to do. And, you know, we got errands to run. You know, there was a guy, how he referenced his plans. His name was Paul, the artist formerly known as Saul. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Do you know how he ended up talking about his schedules? Well, I'm planning on doing this if God wants me to and allows me to. You see, because Paul understood that God likes to interrupt our schedules. And I think that Paul is also inferring that when God interrupts, those are some of the most meaningful times. Simon thinks this is a bother and an interruption. But what he doesn't realize is that he's having one of the high privileges of human history. Okay, Simon, an African, a passerby, gets the extreme privilege and honor to carry the cross of the Savior of the world. What he thinks is an interruption becomes his only claim in the story of history. We would never know Simon. Simon wouldn't even have been considerable enough to mention, except for God included him in the story. How does God's grace work? Just like this. You know, some people say, I found Jesus. No, I found religion. No, you didn't. No, I did. He was right there in front of me. I found him. Not really, Simon. Not really. That was God. How long was the walk? A walk long enough that we can still take it today to Golgotha. Lined with people ridiculing and throwing and spitting. Something happened, I believe, to Simon. I believe that the case can certainly be made that why Alexander and Rufus were in the early church. Jesus says, whoever would lose his life for my sake and for the good news of the gospel that I bring will find life. Simon's interrupted, inconvenienced, bothered. But by the time he gets to the end of the death walk, guess who dies on the cross? Not Simon. He carried it, but Jesus died on it. And at the end of the death walk, I believe that Simon found life. So did his boys, his family. the invitation to life via death. You know, we don't carry the cross. We don't deny ourselves by ourselves. We don't carry the cross to carry the cross. We don't live selfless lives just to live selfless lives. We carry the cross because we're enamored with the man that we're following. And his message. And the good news of what he's doing on behalf of ourselves. That's why we do it. Now notice, Jesus says, if you desire to come after me, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Deny yourself and take up your cross are framed and flanked by me. Okay? He says, don't make it about you. If you deny yourself by yourself, isn't it just more about yourself? Denying yourself is not about you, it's about me, Jesus says. Taking up your cross is not about you, it's about me, Jesus says. Don't make it about you. If you deny yourself by yourself, isn't it more about yourself? Denying yourself and taking up your cross, you do it in response to the man you're preoccupied with. I literally, tomorrow morning, you can do it tonight if you're an overachiever. But I'll give you till tomorrow morning. As you wake up, my prayer for us as a community is that you will literally picture, and you can go there in Mark 15. Picture Simon, because you're Simon. You're a hearer. You've heard of the man who has come to save man and to defend man from evil by his red blood that was spilt. It's the whole gospel. I'm Simon. You're Simon. I pray that you will picture Simon tomorrow morning as you start your Monday. And I pray that on Monday, you'll join Jesus on the death walk. On Monday morning, you'll say, you know what, God? I've made my plans. I've set my schedules. I've got meetings to go to and things to do and people to see. But I'm just here to say that I'm on the death walk with you. And I welcome your divine interruption. And I welcome your divine inconvenience. And I welcome being bothered by you. Bother me all the way to life. If you don't want me to go here, change it. Change it. Whatever you want. I think that's the picture. That's the heart. That's what Jesus is trying to convey to the listening Jews. Come after me and carry your cross. You know, my privilege in life, one of my highest privileges, is to be able to preach to different churches as I go around. And, you know, I have amazing parents and amazing family and friends, and I live in one of the most beautiful places in the world, and I have one of the most beautiful girlfriends in the world. But that's not my highest privilege, you know. My highest privilege in this life is to be identified with Jesus. To go on the death walk. Is that not an honor? Imagine the stories that Simon could tell to his boys, to his kids, to his grandkids. I was there, you know. I walked with him and I witnessed him save the world. Really, Dad? Really, Grandpa? What was it like? Well, at first, I didn't know it. I was bothered. I was inconvenienced. At first, I didn't know. I was doing business while I was there. But when I was with him and I heard what people were saying about him and the words he spoke when he hung there, Father, forgive him. He was not a normal man and I knew it. I pray that the highlight of our life here is to be identified with Jesus. To walk with him, to bear the shame. Jesus says, don't be ashamed of me. I won't, Lord, because only in you have I found life. I will carry the rejection. I will carry the shame. I will carry the bother. I will carry the inconvenience, because in you and you alone, I have found what it means to be alive, truly alive. Sure, I have a schedule. Sure, I have a job. But you are the most important. You are the object of my obsession. You are the most important. I will follow you anywhere and everywhere. Jesus says, in that hard position, in that space, you will find what it means to be alive. That's what I want for you and for me. That we'll find life, not just church attendance, not just going through the motions, not just a lecture on Sunday, but life, true life, via death to ourselves and death to what we want and death to what we think will bring us satisfaction, because He knows. Join Him. Join Him today. Join Him tomorrow. What a privilege. What a privilege. What would it be like if we had a community of believers? Thousands of people every day saying, Monday, I'm going to join Jesus on the death walk. What's the death walk? It's the walk to life. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. God is real. You know, I don't think Simon ever said, you know, it was a burden, but I was willing to bear it. It was tough, but I got through it. That wasn't Simon's story, was it? I was bothered. I was inconvenienced. I didn't want it. But by the end, I found life. A lot of people think that Rufus, his son, was so compelled by what happened to his father that he actually became a pastor. There's debate about this, of course, but it's worth mentioning. It's worth considering. Did I lose you guys? Okay, I was gonna keep going, but I think I'm gonna end it there. If you want, we can go old school Baptist and just keep it going. You know, you guys can go get lunch. I'll still preach, and you guys can come back. I wouldn't even know it. No. Okay. Well, let's pray then, guys. God, I just thank you for this moment, Lord, and I just pray for anyone in here who wants to follow you, to deny themselves and to carry their cross. Lord, I just pray for them and I welcome them, Lord. And I want you to just fill us with the Spirit, Lord. That's what we want. As a church, Lord, I pray that we believe again like the early church, Lord, that we ask for boldness. Lord, we ask for strength to continue to deny ourselves and to carry the shame and the rejection every single day, Lord, without wavering, Lord. And I thank you for this, God, and I pray this in your precious name. Amen. You know, it's funny because my goal is to be a pastor. I want to pastor a church, and that's just what I love. I love to teach. I love to teach the Bible. I love to talk, as you guys know. But, you know, sometimes when you're following Jesus and when you're taking up your cross, it's painful. It really is. And there's rejection and there's, if you're actually doing it, there's rejection and there's shame. And, you know, sometimes I give people non-pastoral answers all the time. Like, I mean, it doesn't always have to be this, like, positive and, you know, the glass is half full type mentality. I mean, sometimes, like, if things are going bad, it's just, like, how are you doing? I'm horrible, but I love Jesus. Can you pray for me? Like, you look like you're having just the worst week. Well, yeah, I am. But you know what? I'm following Jesus and I'm on the death walk and I knew what I was signing up for. So just continue to pray for me. That's the mentality that we need to have. It doesn't always have to be positive. The road is always shaky, but the cornerstone is not. And let's remember that. That song that we sang before I came up here is beautiful. Let's remember those words. And I pray that, you know, as we...
Do we have more songs left?
No? Next Sunday, when you're praying, when you're singing, I challenge you to sing. If you've never lifted a hand before, that's okay. Keep it in your pocket, but lift your heart. Because that's worship, guys. That's singing. We don't just go through the motions. We don't just stand there. We're here for a reason, right? And you guys believe that. You know that. I don't need to tell you that. I want to thank you guys for letting me preach to you guys today. I know you guys had nothing to do with it, but thank you anyways. It's been an honor. Hopefully, you guys, I didn't offend too many people, and I can come back one time, but that's not for me to decide. Thank you, guys.